Welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
The natural man hates the concept of deity, which presents him as an absolute God whose purpose is unaffected by the will and activities of men. To consider that God can and does do exactly as he pleases, regardless of the desires or will of the creature, is sure to cause the old Adamic nature to rise up and begin to accuse him of wrongdoing. Paul said they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. When they knew who God was, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They became wise in their own eyes, and were willing to worship a false god of their own imagination and making, who was like the creature himself. Man's religious nature causes him to want a god of some sort, and he is willing to worship any god but the one who determines everything that shall and does come to pass without any consultation with his creation. By nature, men want a god they can influence and persuade. They want rain when it suits them, healing from whatever disease befalls them, and in general, whatever they feel like they need. Most of so-called Christendom believes that God is basically at the beck and call of men. In fact, they picture him as hoping someone will allow him to do what he wants to do. In essence, they see him as quite powerless apart from the operation of man's free will. They speak about his power, but say that he has no hands, mouths, or feet, but ours. This sort of a wheelchair God is exactly how David described the gods of the heathen. He contrasted those gods with the true God when he said, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." Whether God raises us up in his mercy or casts us forever from his presence to our own destruction is surely his prerogative, and in keeping with his own holy and righteous character. He may not always do exactly what we would desire for him to do. He may confound our every desire. He may leave us destitute and hopeless, but he will always be God and worthy of our praise. He owes no man anything. If he had created the world and all of its inhabitants for the express purpose of destroying it in the pit of hell, which one of his creatures could accuse him of wrongdoing? He will do right. He may show mercy. It is only when a man has come to a place of understanding that fact that he can appreciate the grace and mercy of God, which has been revealed in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The doctrine of his unconditional election must then be seen as the divine cordial that it is. His particular and definite atonement will appear in all of its glory as the cornerstone of his redemption. His irresistible grace and effectual calling must be a crowning jewel whose splendor shines as his children worship at his footstool. The glories of his preservation of all those which were given to him in the covenant of redemption can be viewed with great gladness. Yet there will be many who will grow angry at the mention of such truth, and by doing so they will show their disdain for the true God, preferring the honor and benefit of men over the glory of him who rules in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. Salvation is not by chance, nor is it awarded on the basis of anything which the creature can accomplish. If any man is saved, it will be according to the sovereign mercy of God, who has appointed such a man to receive his blessing. If any man has heard the call of the gospel, it will be because he has given him ears to hear and eyes to see. If any man believes the gospel, it will be because he has in sovereign mercy bestowed the gift of faith to that man. If any man perseveres to the end, it will be because he has kept him from falling. Grace is not fair, nor is mercy. Those who receive what is fair shall be destroyed forever in hell, and not one can bring a railing accusation against him who shall justly punish sin. But oh, those who have been made the recipients of his mercy must forever praise him who alone has made them to differ from another and has granted to them something they did not deserve. Grace, 'tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. Grace first contrived a way to save rebellious man, and all the steps that grace display, which drew the wondrous plan. Grace first inscribed my name in God's eternal book. 'Twas grace that gave me to the Lamb, who all my sorrows took. Grace taught my soul to pray, and pardoning love to know. 'Twas grace that kept me to this day, and will not let me go. Grace all the work shall crown, through everlasting days. It lays in heaven the topmost stone, and well deserves the praise."
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.